All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons, and today I am joined by the Draft Dudes podcast host, Joe Marino, and we're going to be talking about who he thought stood out along the offensive and defensive lines at the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl weeks of practice.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, I am just a guy joined by a dude, Joe Marino, co-host of the Draft Dudes podcast, who I plug at least three times a week on this podcast. Also, one of the new hosts of the Locked On Bills podcast. And of course, you can find Joe's written content as well as several others over at thedraftnetwork.com. I've had John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on this show. I've had Kyle Krabs on this show. So now I'm just sort of completing the set by having Joe Marino on the show. So welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks, man. And I didn't realize I was the last of our quartet there at TDN to come on the show. So I don't know if I should, if you saved the best for last or if I should be offended, you know?
Yeah, no, I think I definitely saved the best for last. So, Joe, we're going to talk quite a bit about sort of the standouts and maybe some guys that didn't necessarily stand out, looking particularly on the offensive and defensive line, because this is a Locked On Falcons podcast and the offensive and defensive line are the two main areas of concern when we look at this Falcons roster that they're probably going to prioritize this upcoming offseason. But sort of a general question, it seemed to me, I was following all your guys' stuff both weeks at the Draft Network, on Twitter and elsewhere, all the great content, video content, daily content that you guys put up there definitely was much appreciated for us, you know, commoners out there that didn't have the privilege of being there firsthand. But I do want to ask you a little bit, sort of, it seemed like from afar at least, that the general thing was that the Shrine Game was really about the pass rushers that really stood out and some of the defensive linemen, and the Senior Bowl was sort of where the offensive line stood out. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a good high-level look at how the two events really shaped up. And obviously, the talent level is always going to be superior at the Senior Bowl. But when you think about the Shrine Game, yeah, it was those defensive linemen who really feasted on a really kind of a weak offensive line group. I'm not sure that I can sit here and confidently say that maybe more than one or two of them will even get drafted. And so you saw guys like Daniel Wise from Kansas really make a name for himself, was just too quick for those guys to block. Daylon Mack, who was too quick and too powerful for those guys to block, and he got the call up to the Senior Bowl. And so, you know, a couple of edge guys really popped, but then you flip the script to the Senior Bowl and you're like, man, these offensive linemen are stoning guys. Like, you don't normally see offensive line do well at the Senior Bowl because all of the drills are really slanted heavily towards a defensive lineman. They have all the space in the world to work. There's no slide protection. There's no chipping. There's no gaps. I mean, it's just, it's everything is at the advantage of the defensive lineman. But at the same time, we're seeing offensive linemen just really do a good job. So I came away from that Senior Bowl thinking, man, if you need to get some interior offensive line help in this year's class, there's going to be some experienced football players that could really help you do that.
Okay. You know, everybody always asks the cliche question of sort of like, who helped themselves the most at the All-Star game? But I want to sort of more focus it a little bit on maybe some guys that stood out to you, just, you know, tailor a little bit towards the Falcons, that maybe somebody that was in your eyes going into the week, you know, maybe a borderline first-round pick or a late first-round pick that you think played well enough and practiced well enough to sort of solidify themselves as a potential top 15 pick where they might now be in the range for the Falcons to target with that 14th overall pick.
Well, for the offensive line, and you're talking about top 15, you know, that's pretty rich, right? But if there's a guy that I thought really made a name for himself, it was probably Dalton Risner, the versatile guy from Kansas State. Going into the event, we thought about him as probably an interior offensive lineman, a guy that maybe you push at guard or at center because maybe he didn't have the length to play outside at tackle. Well, he checked into 34-plus-inch arms, and he played tackle primarily throughout the course of the week, and you felt very comfortable with his ability to frame rushers and get his hands on guys and really protect the width of the pocket. And so while I do think he can probably play all five positions, to be honest with you. I thought he really confirmed himself as a guy that if you want to play him at tackle, you can play him there. And then, you know, he just kind of won the week in terms of his energy and enthusiasm. That's one thing that I really appreciate about being at the Senior Bowl is being able to get live eyes on these guys, watching them at practice, watching them go through everything, media time, seeing them back at the hotel, how they interact with people. And I thought his energy level was really, really good throughout the every bit of the week. And so, you know, from, I think, kind of checking those boxes in terms of personality, but also validating himself as a guy that can certainly play tackle or wherever you need him, he'd really fit. He had a great career at Kansas State. He really frames guys so well, really good technique. The questions were the length. He answered the questions about length. And so when you talk about maybe top 15, that's, you know, that's pretty high. But he's the offensive lineman that really comes to mind when I think about that. From the defensive side of the ball, it's interesting. Maybe Montez Sweat, and I say that reluctantly because while Montez Sweat, the Mississippi State defensive end, was a guy that I thought stood out at the Senior Bowl, I'm not sure he was necessarily a riser, if that makes sense, because I'm not sure we learned anything new about Sweat. He's a really good player. We knew that after watching him at Mississippi State, 30 tackles for loss, 20 sacks over the last two seasons. But he did all the same things we saw him do, winning with power, winning with technique, having good vision, having good pass rush variety. But our question about his flexibility and his looseness in the lower half to really bend the edge still remains. And so he checked in almost 36-inch arms. If that was something that really moves the needle for you, then maybe you can say, well, yeah, he really helped himself and solidified the potential top 15 status. But for me, I thought he confirmed all the things we already knew about him, and he probably has the best chance to be a top 15 pick when we think about the defensive lineman.
Well, since I'm here with Joe, I got to plug the two draft podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. First up, the Draft Dudes podcast with co-hosts Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs, as well as the Locked On NFL Draft podcast with John Ledger and Trevor Sikkema. Find them wherever you get your Locked On podcasts, as well as at thedraftnetwork.com, where you can get the written content and video content from those guys and many more, all to do with the 2019 NFL Draft. Your team every day. Now, maybe this is more geared towards what the Shrine guys, because typically these are the later round guys, but is there someone that you saw, you know, potentially on both sides of the ball that you sort of looked at going into the week that was like, oh yeah, that's like a borderline late day three flyer type of guy, but sort of really didn't solidify themselves as, oh no, this guy is a legit solid, you know, maybe early day three, possible late day two, third round guy?
Yeah, the name that really pops for me as soon as you started talking about that was Nate Davis from Charlotte. He's an interior offensive lineman. Played some tackle at Charlotte, but he's an interior guy all day long. I watched his tape going into the week because, you know, I think it's really important for the small school guys in particular to really, you know, it's really their chance to line up against the great competition. And so, you know, we always put those labels on guys that didn't go to an FBS school and say, oh, they played it, you know, they did it against small school guys. Well, that's why it's such a big stage for these small school guys. So coming from Charlotte, a group of 16, man, I thought he certainly looked like not only that he belonged, but he was one of the best players there. So a lot of power to him. I knew that watching his tape, man. You watch him against Tennessee, he was putting dudes on their back against Tennessee, right? So that matters. Not like he's putting guys from Florida International on their back. He did that too, but, you know, Tennessee's the SEC, man. But what I really became impressed with him, seeing him live and in person, was his hip hinge. Really a guy that you feel comfortable with his ability to stay square, redirect, slide his feet, work outside and come back inside if there's a pressure package or something like that. And a guy that I went in saying, okay, this is a draftable guy on day three, but he's done enough here against top competition for me to say, maybe this is an early day three guy that we pencil in as a developmental starter. So I thought he helped himself a ton in what was a very important week for him.
Was there anybody on the defensive side of the ball? I know Daniel Wise got a lot of buzz at the Shrine game the week before.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a different name here. How about Kingsley Kiki? He's a defensive tackle from Texas A&M. He's inconsistent. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. But his flashes, man, are really exciting. Really rare flexibility for a guy of his size. Let me see. I have his weight here. If you give me 1 second, he's actually 6'3", 305. You do not expect people that big to be able to turn corners as quickly and carry as much speed through the turn as you see from Kiki. Interesting hands, like very stunned with his hands. He had some good moments of where he can really clear his pads and get through contact. And then you combine that with bend, right? You got a guy that can really be dynamic attacking the edges of blockers and applying heat. So Texas A&M, I mean, it feels like they kind of got overlooked here in terms of the talent that's there, but they've got some good players. And Kiki's a guy that when I talk about day three guys, I want upside. And so maybe he's got some technical work to do. But when I look at him, he's big, he's flexible, and he's quick. And those are things that I can work with. And I thought he was a guy that maybe elevated his status as a day three guy.
Now, I was talking about the Falcons offensive lineman on yesterday's Locked On Falcons podcast. And one of the things I talked about was sort of the Falcons need to sort of get a long-term potential heir apparent to Alex Mack at that center position. And if they can get that guy, you know, this offseason, knowing, you know, the possibility that maybe Alex Mack hangs it up a year or two from now, they'll already have that guy sort of in the fold, ready to go. And I know Garrett Bradbury is a guy that's gotten a lot of buzz sort of as this sort of prototypical sort of zone blocking guy. I'm curious how Bradbury looked at the Senior Bowl, as well as I'm curious if there was maybe some other center prospects over the last 2 weeks that stood out to you that may also have sort of that upside, maybe as a day three guy to be sort of an ideal fit in the Falcons outside zone scheme.
Yeah, I like Bradbury a ton, and I thought he did play really well at the Senior Bowl. He's got to get a little stronger. He's the guy that kicked over from tight end a few years back, so he's still relatively new to the position, which you wouldn't think it by watching his tape because he's so technically refined and he's really good with his footwork and his lateral movement skills and his ability to work as a move blocker. Really, really impressive. Yeah, I mean, he gets walked back a little bit, so you want to see him strengthen that anchor a little bit. And so when you think about him potentially with the Falcons, not necessarily having an immediate need to start right away, but can be the successor to Alex Mack within a couple of years, you know, I like that transition. I think a team's probably going to draft him to be their starter, though. And so I don't know if that's going to be something that makes him not really available there in the second round. And I'm not sure that Atlanta would want to take him in the first. But, yeah, he's the best center in the class. The other guy that really pops to kind of answer the second part of your question there, if there's anybody that really kind of emerged, it's Eric McCoy. He's from Texas A&M. Him in the 1v1s, man, his anchor really, really, really popped. I mean, he stayed square. He showed that ability to leverage his hips and absorb contact, and really was impressed with that. And so, you know, I was talking with John Ledger about him, and John does the work for us on the SEC. And so his job at the Draft Network is to know the players over the course of the summer and monitor them throughout the course of the season. So that way, when January comes around, we know who the prospects we need to be focused in on. And then we all cover them from a national basis. And I talked to John. I said, man, why didn't you tell us about McCoy? And he's like, well, he's a redshirt junior, really didn't think he was going to declare. And so we're all a little bit late to the party with him. But what I saw from him in Mobile was really exciting. And I still need to get to his tape. But I know John had spent some time watching him today versus Quinnen Williams, who's unbelievable and probably fared the best against him as we've seen from anybody this past year. So Eric McCoy's a guy that's really piqued my interest and really made a name for himself with how well he performed in the 1v1s in Mobile.
All right. We got more draft content in Senior Bowl and Shrine Game takes from Joe coming up. But I do want to plug the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, including the Locked On Hawks podcast with host Brad Rowland. Find that wherever you get your Locked On podcast. Get Brad's thoughts as well as several others' thoughts on all the potential trades that are going down in the NBA over the next couple of days. Your team every day. Now, looking at this group with the combine sort of looming, you know, a month or so from now, I'm curious if there's maybe some guys that were there at the All-Star game that you're sort of eager to see how well they test, maybe because you question whether or not they have sort of the athleticism that will sort of, you know, check some boxes for NFL teams moving forward, or maybe there's some guys that you think, okay, this guy has a little bit of juice, but I'm intrigued to see exactly how much he has. So which guys are sort of, do you have your eyes keyed on for the combine that were at these All-Star games?
Man, my head's spinning right now. There's so many. I'll kind of go rapid fire on three that really pop for me. Zach Allen from Boston College. Yeah, I think the testing is going to be huge for him. He had a great career, man. He made a ton of plays. But you watch him and you just kind of wonder where you're going to play him, whether that's inside or outside. He's defensive lineman. He doesn't have the flexibility or juice to really play on the outside. He doesn't have the mass and play strength to play on the inside. So we need to like learn what his athletic ceiling is. So his testing is going to be really big, because I think this is a player maybe people thought was a late one, early two guy, but he might be like a late day two, early day three guy. And I think that's what's going to really matter is his testing. Charles Omenihu, he's from Texas, guy that, man, his first step is really good. He got better and better every single year at Texas, really dominated his senior season, plays the run well, and really flashes as a pass rusher, really came on in that area. But, you know, again, for him, if he's going to be a first-round guy or a second-round guy, in my opinion, it's really going to matter how his agility tests are, what that 10-yard split is, and what his explosive numbers are, because, you know, I think that could be many millions of dollars weighing on that. And then the other guy that really pops is Jalen Ferguson. Ferguson, everybody wants to talk about him. He's from Louisiana Tech. He's the all-time leader in NCAA history in sacks. And that's a meaningful statistic, right? Sacks, it's huge. But how much juice does he really have? And I've seen some guys mock him in the first round lately, and I go back to his tape and I say, this is not necessarily an athlete that I think is one that's going to be able to replicate or even come close to replicating his success in college at the NFL level. But if he goes and he has insane testing, you're going to rethink everything I just said. So I think, and there's a lot of guys, but those three in particular really pop when I think about how much their testing can help improve their draft stock.
Okay. Last question I have for you, Joe. Another thing I talked about on a recent episode of Locked On Falcons was sort of because the Falcons have question marks at the right tackle position, whether they bring back Ryan Schrader, who had a down season this past year. He's getting up in age and whatnot. But even if they do decide to retain Ryan Schrader for 2019, they still need to find a young, at least developmental right tackle. And, you know, I think that's going to be a potential option for them in round one. And you mentioned a guy like Dalton Reisner as a potential option there. But I'm curious, is there like a day two right tackle that sort of stood out to you that could be a potential sort of plan B for the Falcons if they decide to go in another direction in round one?
I'll tell you, if you want to go starter in round one, I can get all excited about Cody Ford from Oklahoma or Jawan Taylor from Florida, man. I like those guys a ton as like the plug and play type right tackles. But if there's a player that maybe showed me something that leads me to believe not necessarily day one starter, but could be a developmental guy to eventually be the successor to Ryan Schrader, Caleb McGarry from Washington is a name that pops. And I thought he was up and down on film. But I thought at the Senior Bowl, he moved a little better than I was expecting. I thought he did a better job with his sets. Now, I think he's got a lot of work to do with his pass sets, but there was more positive reps than I expected in terms of his ability to frame rushers. And then he's very strong. That was not anything we questioned, and I thought that showed up in Mobile. So, you know, guys that are up and down, guys that need to improve, kind of to answer your question about developmental-type starter, that's the guy that pops for me, Caleb McGarry from Washington, although – like if you really want to get that right, I mean, Jawan Taylor and Cody Ford, man, those guys in the first round, those are going to be good players.
Okay. All right, Joe, definitely want to have you back on later this offseason, talk more draft as we get closer and sort of, you know, particularly right after free agency, because, you know, how this thing goes. We sit here and speculate about all the different moves that the teams will make in the draft, and then they go out there on the first day of free agency and drop $40 million and solve that need, and then all of a sudden, oh, that person I had mocked yeah. him, you know, with, you know, in the first round for like the last four mock drafts is no longer an option. So definitely want to wait and see, get you back on maybe in April, talk more draft now that we sort of can sort of target specific needs and whatnot and really hone in on this draft. But I appreciate you coming on, and go ahead and let the people know where they can find you on Twitter and some of the stuff you guys got coming up on your various podcasts and website platforms.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Would be happy to come back on and talk with you again. You can follow me on Twitter at the Joe Marino. I work for the Draft Network, which is at Draft Network LLC. We are getting ready to launch phase two of our website, and we could not be more excited. Included in that launch is going to be a build your own big board feature where you'll be able to go and take from our player pool of 500 names, and you can make your own big board, and you can, it's really interactive in terms of how you can sort the names, and then you can share it. It'll break it down by positions for you. And then the exciting part is you can then take that big board and use it in the mock draft machine, which is a mock draft simulator that we think is going to be really awesome. The interface is really great in terms of what it looks like. And you can pick for, you could be the general manager for the Falcons. You can make those picks. You can use it. You can use your own board to do that. And so really excited about those interactive features that are coming down the pipe here at Draft Network. Also hosts the Draft Dudes podcast as well as Locked On Bills. So if you want to hear me talk football, there's going to be no shortage of opportunities on a daily basis.
All right, Joe, man, I appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you later this offseason.
Yeah, man, anytime.
All right, man. Have a good one. All right, guys, there you have it. Quick one with Joe. You know, I could have sat here for another 20 minutes and just basically asked him about everybody, but just wanted to get some of the standouts, some names out there. Eric McCoy is an interesting guy because I saw one game and I was like not that impressed with him, but I definitely want to do a little bit more of a deeper dive. Nate Davis was a guy that I did see earlier and I was like, that's intriguing. And so, yeah, there's certainly some guys, as you guys well know, and I've said a number of times on this podcast and on Twitter and in various other platforms, that the Falcons do really scout these All-Star games heavily. I've sort of said it's in large part in, you know, my theory is because Dan Quinn has so much control over player personnel and coaches don't really get to watch college football throughout the fall. Their first access to some of these prospects really is these All-Star games, so they can really make a really good first impression. And you know, when Dan Quinn is all about competitiveness and grit and all those sorts of things, that watching these guys practice for 3 days also is a big part of his evaluation, because there's a certain mentality and a certain sort of, you know, competitor that he wants on this Falcons roster to sort of, you know, fit in with the whole locker room mentality that the Falcons like to bring. So that's why these All-Star games, and they almost overwhelmingly, the vast majority of their day three picks are All-Star guys, and they sprinkle in a couple of those guys in the first 2 days and three rounds of the draft. But typically, you know, for the most part, the reason why is not necessarily you don't see as many first and second round picks that the Falcons have that are All-Star game guys, is because most guys that are first and second round picks are either juniors and thus not eligible to go to All-Star games, or they're so good that they don't need to go to the All-Star game in order to sort of benefit and improve their stock. But there are notable guys. We've seen Carson Wentz. We've seen Baker Mayfield. We've seen several other guys. Ziggy Ansah was a couple of years ago, that were, you know, at the Senior Bowl and sort of really solidified their draft status. And we'll see if that happens again this year in 2018. So it'll be nice to sort of get some of these guys on the combine and sort of be like, okay, these guys sort of hit the athletic thresholds that the Falcons typically look at. And so that is a big reason why I'm not necessarily going too deep on it, because some of these people, you know, maybe even some that Joe talked about, won't necessarily be high on the Falcons' radar because they didn't have good enough 40 times or good enough broad jumps, or, you know, their 10-yard splits weren't quite as good. And, you know, as I mentioned, free agency, you know, they might eliminate some of their needs. You know, they might go out there and sign Malcolm Brown on the first day of free agency, and then all of a sudden D-tackle isn't as big a need. Or they might go out there and get Trent Brown, two Browns from the Patriots, on the first day of free agency, and all of a sudden right tackle no longer becomes an issue. Who knows at this point in time? So we'll have to play wait and see. But in the meantime, if you guys have questions, thoughts, or comments or anything, you can submit them to me on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, on email lockedonfalcons@mail.com. You can leave a comment at falcons.com where the podcast is posted daily. You know, I haven't plugged it recently, you know, probably in like 6 months, but if you guys haven't done so already, go ahead and, you know, jump on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and give the podcast a 5-star review. You know, if you do so, I will try to read it on the show towards the end of the show. So definitely do that. I know it's been a while since we've done that as a regular thing, but, you know, if you haven't done it, do it. If you have done it, borrow your friend's phone or computer, laptop, and do it again under a different username or whatever it is that you need to do to get the maximum number of 5-star reviews out there. Shout out to my boy, Evan Birchfield, who gave me like 3 5-star reviews and like 3 different accounts. So Evan, steal somebody else's phone and give me a 4th one. So there you have it, guys. And we'll probably be back Monday with a mailbag, more than likely, if I'm feeling, we're going to start the defensive roster review. And so that'll probably start early in the week with the D-line, and then we'll get to the edge, and then we'll probably get through the linebacker next week. And then we'll probably save the secondary and special teams for the week after that. But we'll see how it goes. But submit those questions so we can answer those on Monday, and then get to the D-line game. So there you have it. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.